All right, welcome in. Drive Time on the air. It is Friday. Chris Eggert. Guy did a great job filling in. I am an Eggert fan. You know, there's a little kinship. There's a little fraternity, perhaps, of those of us who have woken up in the early morning hours of the day. And Chris outlasted me on the morning shift, I think. I made it about 9 years, and I think he's got a year on me. He does a great job filling.
He's doing well.
It is great to be with you today. We are monitoring, and you heard Mark in the news update. We'll certainly update you if and when we get a verdict in the Nicole Mitchell trial. The jury has it, and the jury has been working on this now for, it's been a little bit. It's been a little bit. So they got the case, around a little before lunchtime, I think. And, you know, typically jurors being people, they don't want to have to come back on Monday. But this is a difficult one. Nicole Mitchell was on the stand for 5 hours on Thursday, and so the jurors will kind of work through this. So we'll let you know as soon as there is a verdict. I wanted to start today with late night TV because the news that CBS has canceled the Colbert Show to me was shocking, because I know that the economics have changed, that late night television isn't the cash cow that it once is, that these hosts make a lot of money, and the cost to have the staff and do the writing and all of the stuff is a lot. At the same time, I'm not an idiot, and CBS has been fighting with the Trump administration, and CBS has been trying, and their parent company, Paramount, have been trying to have a merger take place and get federal approval for this. President Donald Trump has been engaged in a lawsuit that was just settled over coverage that he didn't like during the campaign on 60 Minutes. Colbert criticized the network just last week for making a deal, for bending the knee. And then Colbert gets canceled. I have two questions for you at 651-461-9226. Do you believe it, that this is strictly a business thing? And my other question is, who is the best late night host of all time for you? Who is your favorite? Because for me, it's Letterman, and not even close. Well, I won't say that. It's Letterman, and then it's Johnny Carson. 651-461-9226. I want to play Colbert's announcement from his show last night. So this was news that Colbert said he just found out last night that his show was being canceled. Here it is.
Night. Senator Adam Schiff was my guest. We harmonized on Seven Bridges Road. What a voice. I cried. But before we start the show, I want to let you know something that I found out just last night. Next year will be our last season. The network will be ending The Late Show in May. And yeah, I share your feelings. It's not just the end of our show, but it's the end of The Late Show on CBS. I'm not being replaced. This is all just going away. And I do want to say, that the folks at CBS have been great partners. I'm so grateful to the Tiffany Network for giving me this chair and this beautiful theater to call home. And, of course, I'm grateful to you, the audience, who have joined us. So, every night, in here, out there, all around.
So that was the announcement from Colbert on his show last night. The series will end in May of 2026, so it's not ending immediately. But to me, it is astonishing to think they're shutting the whole thing down.
Yeah,
I remember, I saw Colbert. I saw Letterman in the Ed Sullivan Theater. As a kid, Letterman was sort of, I always told people that I wanted to be a combination of Peter Jennings, David Letterman, and Bob Barker. That was, those were my broadcasting inspiration.
Tall mountain.
And you look at the time, and sure, I got to be honest, late night TV to me today, it's not that interesting. And I don't know what changed, because Colbert is very talented. His show certainly found its footing when he went all in on bashing Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience followed. Late night for me in general is more political than I want at 10:35 at night. There are other things to make fun of and joke about and talk about. And for me, it's a lot. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. Like all day on social media, you're reading about people angry about politics. And then now, granted, if you're a comedian, there's a lot of comedy in politics. But Carson, Leno, Letterman would talk about current events, but the monologue was about more than that. And for me, I miss some of that. And I think, you know, you look at Colbert and you say he was a Trump basher. I don't know. For me, it's hard to believe that this show wasn't canceled in part to kiss up to the administration.
Mm-hmm.
That Donald Trump has had success by threatening lawsuits and filing lawsuits. He sued ABC. He sued CBS. Mm-hmm. Today, he's threatening to sue the Wall Street Journal. It is an astonishing change. And I know people love it. If you're a Republican, if you're a Trump fan, you love that Trump's not just taking it. He's going after people. But I think there is a chilling effect when you, as president, instead of using the fact that you have the biggest microphone in the world, you are using the threat of financial ruin of businesses that are already sort of struggling because of the changing media environment, the fact that we stream video instead of appointment television. For me, like watching the Fallons, the Kimmels, the who's the NBC host, Seth Meyers.
Mm-hmm.
It is so designed to create a viral video that goes crazy the next day. It's less enjoyable for me to watch it.
Yep.
It's all bits, which, you know, Letterman used to like drop a watermelon off of the roof of the, you know, Ed Sullivan Theater.
Yeah.
Like there were bits, but the bits would take 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was part of the entertainment. Now, you're younger.
Yeah, but the four pillars of late night, and I don't know if you mentioned this one, but Conan.
Yeah.
It's pretty much Leno, Conan, Letterman, and I'm blanking now. What was the other one? Leno, Letterman.
Leno,
oh, Carson. Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny.
Yeah, Carson, Letterman.
I mean, I remember being a kid and staying. I was allowed to stay up late to watch Carson. That was, you had these milestones in development where you were allowed to stay up late to watch Johnny and you were allowed to watch Saturday Night Live.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, now I'm old enough. I can stay up. My parents would let me stay up till 10:30 at night. Lots of texts about this. Colbert not funny anymore, just mean-spirited. I think he's still funny, but it is.
Yeah.
I just don't need that every night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the Daily Show style roundup where it's all political news. Favorite Letterman was when Trump was railing to buy American and Letterman cut Trump's chai that he, his tie that was made in China. It's true. It is true. Are these late night shows too political for you? Love to hear more feedback on that. Lots of texts coming in. 651-461-9226. I think that part of the reason Colbert was canceled was because CBS desperately, Paramount desperately wants to cut ties, sell CBS to new owners, and wash the whole thing down the toilet. It is sad. To me, that is sad. The end of a late night show, I think, is a bummer. 651-461-9226. More when Drive Time comes right back. When Colbert is done, I'm done with CBS. I love many of their shows, but anybody who kisses the ring of the king doesn't get my business, says a texter. The political angle on any of the late shows are just too much, and Letterman was the king of making about his audience and current events and stayed away from political hardcore digs. True comedy needs to surface. Lots of reaction. I just think it is a big... It's a big change to not have a late night show on CBS. I mean, what are the? Wasn't there a period where they were playing like kind of crappy drama shows like Silk Stockings before Letterman came over? I mean, I remember. So this is what a dork I am, Josh. There was a time that as a kid that I sent a letter to the host of CBS's late night talk show, a fan letter.
Mm.
And that was the Pat Sajak show.
Mm-hmm.
I was a big fan. Big fan of the Pat Sajak show. Crazy. Jason, the late shows are all very political, but they always have been, just not to this level. I think that's true.
And by the way, the same applies to SNL. People bash SNL for being political when that technically is a late night show. SNL has been political for 50 years.
Yeah.
Has never not been political. In the world we live in now, it's even magnified even more.
Yeah. I mean, to me, Saturday Night Live is no more political than it ever has been. It's all the same.
Yeah.
People just react to what shows up in their social media feed, right?
Yep.
Now, the finances of this are challenging, and Benjamin on YouTube, who is mocking me for writing a letter to Pat Sajak, is saying that the format is antiquated. And Benjamin may be right. The format of bringing out a celebrity and kind of yucking it up and telling some story in an age of podcasts where these celebrities are out there doing so many more interviews, maybe it is less exciting to see whoever promoting their show on. For me, it was never really about the guests, though.
Mm-hmm.
It was always about the host. I wanted to hear what Letterman was talking about. I wanted to see Johnny Carson's monologue. I wanted to see a joke bomb and see how they rescue it. Yeah. There is no doubt. I mean, okay, when we analyze, and I wonder what you think, Josh, do you think CBS canceled this show because of the sort of political pressure from the White House?
I mean, they did just kind of have to settle a lot of money with the Trump situation, and I'm imagining maybe they didn't want more blowback with that. But
$16 million is what they just settled, the 60 Minutes lawsuit.
Yeah.
And Paramount trying to, possible. Now, the truth is, we do know that late night has been shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
When James Corden left in 2023, they put this Taylor Tomlinson sort of game show, comedy game show type format on. And Taylor supposedly left of her own, like she wanted to travel and
do her own thing. Yep.
But the network didn't replace it with anything. So the other thing that we've seen is some of the other shows are, you know, shrinking the number of days they're live. So the finances of this are for sure a factor. But the reality is when you have a president who is willing to file lawsuits against media, for me, every sort of kowtowing you see someone doing, you can't remove that from the equation.
Yeah.
And the fact that Paramount, CBS's owner, had to say in their news release, no, it's not money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. For me, it's questionable.
But also, and I don't know, maybe I just haven't noticed it with other shows, but I always tune into your alma mater, CBS, right up the street. I tune into them for the late night news a lot.
Yep.
And right when that ends, they go right to Colbert, and the first thing they mention is, recorded earlier today, and I don't know if I know other shows, late night shows, are recorded earlier, but I don't think they ever really note it. And I'm not saying this is the reason it got canceled, but I'm sure it is kind of a determinant when you hear these stations like kind of pull the curtain back like that.
Mm.
But I don't know. Just a thought, because I don't want to hear something that was from like filmed at 3 p.m. today. I want to hear something that was filmed at 6 or 7 p.m.
Well, and one of our texters says that Gutfeld is one of the highest rated.
Mm-hmm.
Gutfeld might be the highest rated show.
Yeah. Does pretty well.
And I don't know. Is that show live? Or
I'm not sure. I mean, I think any show is,
you know, it
live when it comes to Fox News, but I don't know.
And a texter is asking, you know, who cares? Who cares? And here's why I think it's worthy of conversation. This is why I care. One, we are in an unprecedented time where a president of the United States is not just using his bully pulpit to go after the media. Mm-hmm. He is filing lawsuits and extracting tens of, $16 million. That is unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
It just is.
It is.
And then on top of it, broadcast cultural touchstones, this is another sort of nail in that coffin.
Yeah.
The idea of appointment television, because, look, I love the shows that you can stream.
Mm-hmm.
And on YouTube right now, Kathy is saying, I don't watch the late night shows anymore. They're too political. I want to watch Netflix and check out my shows.
Yeah.
So I think this is a real issue, right? It's a real factor. And you may have noticed that your local news is spending more promotional effort trying to get people to watch at 6 instead of 10. And it's because we're all time shifting and streaming at night.
Yeah.
So it's just a shift. It's a cultural shift. Will there be a time that there will be no late night shows? Maybe.
Could be. I think a lot of it changed once Jimmy Fallon took over for, I think it was Conan. I think that was, you had those two running neck and neck for a while, and then it was, or I guess I shouldn't say neck and neck, they were on the same network, but
yeah.
That was kind of the thing, that was the heyday of late night television. Once they changed that normality, kind of like Big Voice guy here, people are like, no, yeah. I don't like the new late night host.
Who is your favorite of all time? Favorite host?
I'd have to say Conan.
Conan.
I just think he's done really, really well, both shifting from network to shifting from, you know, NBC over to TBS was a big move, because not really those kinds of shows don't typically go on Turner Network and some of these other big, huge
I think
channels.
People like Conan better now.
Yeah.
He maybe is getting more respect. When you watch these old Conan interviews, it was so good, but there was so much drama with Leno giving him the show, then Leno coming back. GJ on Facebook agreeing, I won't take this Conan non-love. He is king of kings. I think every generation has their host.
Oh, yeah.
I am classic Gen X. Letterman was my guy.
Yeah.
My parents, it was Carson. The millennials, I think it's Conan. This generation, maybe it's nobody. Maybe it's nobody. 331. Let's give away tickets to Paul McCartney. Clear the lines. Let's get rid of, clear this top caller. And now we start fresh. 651-461-9226. Anybody who wants a chance to play Name That Tune to win Paul McCartney tickets, now is your time. 651-461-9226. Drive Time coming back with the ticket giveaway next. All right, it's our last chance. We have had so much fun this week playing Name That Tune for a chance to win Paul McCartney passes. Every other day, we gave them away before you could buy them. Today, they're on sale. I meant to check to see what the deal was at U.S. Bank Stadium. So I'm going to click on Ticketmaster and see if I can buy them, because this is just mean. To shop for tickets, join the queue. I got to join the queue. This is Friday. Oh, sign in. You know what? Can't you just tell me an answer? Do I have to sign in and do all this stuff? You can do all this stuff if you want to buy tickets to check out Paul McCartney. It is Paul McCartney gotback.com. That is the website for that. But you know what would be more fun than buying the tickets? Winning them. And we have a lineup of callers ready to go. Let's play a 3-second clip of tonight's ticket, of tonight's song. Go ahead, let her rip. Began to settle down. Okay, that's it. That's all you get. Our first contestant is Tubby. Tubby, you are on CCO. Can you name that Paul McCartney tune?
Oh, you mean the song called Band on the Run?
Everybody got it in one guess this week. Oh, Tubby, you did it. You did it.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, man.
I love this for you. Ben was next up. Ben, I'm sorry. Mike and Diane. Everybody who is lined up on the line this week just had sadness. Sadness. But Tubby, you got it done. You were quick on the dial. Nice work.
Thanks, man.
What's your favorite Paul McCartney song?
Probably Band on the Run now.
What now? Yes. It should be. It should be. Oh, our YouTube friend Benjamin has been watching all week. Ben in Dresser, Wisconsin. Tubby, what do you say to Ben, who today was the first time he actually got in and got on hold, but you swiped the tickets from poor Ben? What do you say to Ben?
Let it be.
Very good. Very good. Tubby, who are you bringing?
I don't know, so I'll round up someone.
Well, I bet you will. I bet you will. The Paul McCartney U.S. Bank Stadium show is October 17th. If you want to enter your Ticketmaster account and all of this stuff, you can do it at paulmccartneygotback.com. We thank Live Nation for sharing these tickets with us. It was super fun all week. Tubby, stay on the line. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it, Tubbs.
Woo!
Oh, nice. A woo from Tubby. Now, I didn't do the cheesy radio station thing with any of these. Tubby, what's your favorite radio station? You know, we could do that with him right now. It is risky. Tubby, you're still there, right?
Of course I am.
Tubby, what's your favorite radio station?
WCCO Radio.
Whew. All right, it's always scary. I'm not going to ask what your favorite show is because I my ego can't take it.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be Russia Drive Time.
Well, that's what I thought. Yes, very good. All right, back to hold you go, Tubby. We'll get you, Josh will get all your information. Ben, who is in the YouTube chat room. We have great audience over there at the YouTube. Had a good Paul story to share. You were close, Ben. Today was your closest day getting in for sure. 342, I want to talk about this student fee of University of Minnesota students who are going to get charged $200 a year to help pay student athletes. And I will tell you this, I don't like it, and here is why. There is no fee to pay the librarians. There is no fee to pay the landscaping crews who mow the lawn and take care of the plants. It's just part of your tuition. University of Minnesota, Twin Cities campus, for the first time, according to the Minnesota Star Tribune, is charging a $100 per semester fee to offset the very expensive price of paying student athletes. And this, of course, is because of all of the Supreme Court rulings that have said, you know, these athletes can get paid and should get paid because they are essentially employees. You know, not to be the old man yelling at the cloud, but back in my day, a free college tuition was seen as payment enough. But the truth is, these kids are cash cows in the revenue-generating sports like football, basketball, at the U of M hockey. I have no issue with the students paying a little bit more. The fact that it's a separate fee, and students get to complain and moan about it, I think looks silly. And maybe you disagree. 651-461-9226. Maybe you are mad that the students are paying anything. The president and vice president of the U's undergraduate student government, who are doing what they should do. If I were a student government representative at a college, I'd be bitching and moaning about salary, about any tuition hike, any fee. I don't want to pay more. That's their job as the student representative, to stick up for the students, and students don't want to pay more. But if you're going to pay athletes, who's supposed to pay? Who's supposed to pay? Now, a lot of other schools, according to the U, have similar fees. The University of Illinois, University of Iowa, University of Maryland, Northwestern, Rutgers, UCLA, all have fees. South Carolina and Louisville recently added student athletic fees. $20 million is what is the maximum that schools can pay student athletes. And the U.S. said they're going to pay out all of it. So $20 million has to come from somewhere. And you're not going to make $20 million by slapping some companies on the floor of company's logo on the floor of Williams Arena. You're just not. So the students have to pay for it. I just don't see why we need this as a fee.
No.
Why not just have this come out of tuition? And I think, frankly, if I were a student, now I'm sort of ticked that I'm paying $200 for the quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder, and I wonder what people's reaction to this will be. If the fact that student athletes are getting changed, does this... or are getting paid, is this going to change the way that we interact with these students? Because I've always hesitated to go full on criticism of a college student athlete because they're kids. They're kids. So for me, when you look at the U's football team, if you have a quarterback who's not quite getting it done yet, I don't know. I've always sort of held back a bit because these are kids. But when they're getting paid, they're employees in a way, they're getting NIL money. I just wonder if people are going to let them have it a little bit more than it used to be. Let's see what Dave in Golden Valley has to say. Dave is on the CCO Talking Text Line. What do you think about this fee, Dave?
Hey, Jason, great show. I love your show. But every now and then, I got to call you out. You got to be kidding me that you're agreeing with this.
You don't think that, well, where do you think the money should come from?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I'm old school. I played college sports a long time ago, 40 years ago. And, I mean, it was unheard of back then. And
yeah,
I struggle with this.
It was better.
I struggle with this all day long. Go ahead.
I think it was better the old way, right? There's so much money in all of this now.
Well, exactly. And now it's trickling down to the high school athletes. It's wrong.
Do you think it's wrong that they get paid?
I do. And yeah. I also think it's wrong that the other students that are going to the U or wherever they're going for an education have to pay for, like you just mentioned, they're paying for the quarterback. They're paying for the running back. It's extremely frustrating.
Yeah, I partially agree with you because I do think, I think there's too much money in college sports. And the reality is, though, that the schools, through television revenue, were making a lot of money off of these kids. And so to not pay them also sort of seems unfair. Back in your day, the schools were not making this kind of cash off of these national TV contracts that they have now. So to me, if they're going to make this money, they should have to share it with the kids in some way. I guess I wish we could recalibrate how much money these coaches are making, right? Like if coaches weren't making $5 million a year, you'd have some money you could pay the linebackers, right?
Exactly, and that's true. And let's do this. And if we're going to go this route, let's put an end to this switching schools every year, every half a year, and going where who's paying the quarterback this
yes.
and that. I mean, let's if we're going to have the kid behind the center, let's have him there for 4 years, or let's have him there for 5 years.
At least two, right? Like, lock him in. So part of my enjoyment of, and this is why I said I wonder if people are going to change a little bit the way that they react and interact with these students, because they're getting paid, they're making money. It's not, you know, like I said, I would hesitate to really rip like a kicker who missed a critical kick, because it's like, well, they're kids. But now they're getting paid, they're getting NIL money. Like, I don't know, as a fan, you feel like maybe I can rip them the same way you would a professional athlete. These are professionals.
Well, and you've been talking about it all week with, you know, the sports betting.
Yeah.
These people getting all these threats. I mean, just now it's going to trickle down to college, and before you and I know it, it'll trickle down to the high school kids.
All right, you know? Dave makes...
I'll let you go.
No,
love
Dave...
The show. I just had to vent a little
bit. I'm glad you did. Thanks, Dave. Dave's got me thinking. Maybe, you know, the U has no choice here. If other schools are going to pay the full $20 million, you either are competitive or you're not. So if the U says we're not going to pay, you're hosed. You're hosed. Yeah. And that's not, I don't think any of us want that at the University of Minnesota either. More calls, more texts. Keep it coming. 651-461-9226. Drive time coming back. All right. So that's the big story right now. A verdict is in the Nicole Mitchell trial. No idea what the verdict is at this point, but like we suspected, oh gosh, it's 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. How about that? A jury, they got their free lunch. Mark Fry has been monitoring in the newsroom. Mark, do you know what time the jury got this case? Do you know when they took it?
Well, from what we were reading, it was early in the afternoon, okay. And then I think they had their lunch and then started deliberating. So I think they've had it about since 1:30 or 2. So it's been a couple of hours here.
All right, very good. We'll check in with Mark with the latest, and we'll interrupt CBS News if the verdict comes.